the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. That they may have life and have it abundantly. Today we're going to look at that whole concept of abundant life in Christ, that the life that God has for us in Jesus Christ. We're going to look at this in four separate points. Firstly, we're going to look at life itself and what that's about. Then we're going to look at what abundance is about. Then we're going to look at what it means to be saved. And then we're going to look at by whom we are saved. We're going to look at the gate. Would you pray with me? Lord God, our Heavenly Father, move among us this day so that we, your people, may always feel and sense your divine power and presence. For we need to know that we are never alone. And speak to us this day in such a way that we may always hear, understand, and remember. Give us your word by which you mold and shape our living. For we need your word to live eternally. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Life. What is life? I'll never forget studying the whole question of what life was and when life began and when life ends and how does life come into being and where did it come into being. There's amongst some of the scientists in the world today, they believe in the concept of evolution, an evolution that is not in any way, shape, or form directed by a god or a deity, but an evolution that is completely without control, completely without plan, completely beyond the idea of control or divine guidance. It's an idea that nature just sort of haphazardly, by chance, chooses. And you take them back through their process and you get back to the very beginning and you ask, how did life begin? And these evolutionary scientists kind of look at you and they scratch their heads and they say, we don't know. We don't know. It's the wonderful story about a bunch of men, a bunch of scientists who decide they want to have a contest with God to see who can make the better human being. And so they look at God and they say, we're going to have a contest with you. We want to have a contest with you, God, to make a human being. And God says, okay, we'll have that contest. And so God bends down and gets some dirt and starts to fashion a human being with the dirt from the ground. And the scientists look at each other and they look at God and look back at each other and they said, okay. So they bend down, start to get some dirt. And God says, get your own dirt. Get your own dirt. We don't know where life begins. We don't know how God started it. All we know is that God did, hands-on, fashioning it from his brilliance and his mind and his being and his nature and his word. He fashioned us after his image. Life. What is life? One excellent definition of life is the ability to respond to change. Change. Indeed, the ability to change is one definition for life. By that definition, I pray we all are capable of change. If we're alive, we better be, because things will change. Always do, and always have, and always will. Life. The word here in the New Testament is the word zoe. Life in the physical sense, the real life, the life that we live in the flesh. It's also the life that we live in Christ, the supernatural life, belonging to God and to Christ. which we share here and now in this family. It is eternal life. It is the life that really matters, not just the physical life that we live here, you and I today, but the spiritual life, the heart and mind life, the spiritual life that we live today as members of the body of Christ is the life that is being spoken of here in the passage. Life. What it really means to be alive. Life. Abundant. Greek word is perissos. Abundant. Perissos. It means extraordinary. Remarkable. Of that which is not usually encountered among men. Abundant, profuse, going beyond what is necessary, overflowing to overfilled. God provides us not just with enough life, not just with enough grace, not just with enough love, not just with enough joy. We are not on short rations when it comes to the spiritual life, my friends. We're not on a spiritual life diet, my friends. God provides us with abundant, overflowing, profuse, to the brim and beyond life. God provides us with more life than we can possibly live. All right? Life and abundance. A life that is life to God, that is overflowing beyond measure, eternal by definition. That's what abundant life is. Now, we have abundant life because of the third word we're looking at today. Sozo in Greek. Sozo. And it means to save, to rescue, to deliver, to catch away from natural danger or affliction. Theologically, it means to save or deliver or rescue from death. Sozo. If Janet were out in the Trinity River in flood season, kind of like now, and she's being washed downstream, and I look over a bridge and I see her floating by, going, "Help! Save me!" And I throw her a life preserver with a line on it. She grabs it and hangs on, and I pull her into shore and get her out on the shore and take her to the hospital. That's the meaning of the word rescued, saved, or in the Greek, sozo. To not just reach out to help, but to reach out and actually do it. It's the completed action of saving. Throw out the life preserver with no line on it, that's not sozo. Throughout the life preserver, she grabs it and I let go, that's not sozo. Throughout the life preserver, she grabs on, I start to pull her in, get her to shore and say, "Okay, we're done now," that's not sozo. That's not salvation. That's not saved. You throw out the life preserver, she grabs on, notice she has something to do in that. You pull her into the shore, you get her up, you get her in a car or in the ambulance, you take her to the hospital, you get her care. That's saved in this sense here. It's a completed action. Not just the beginning, not part of it, it's all of it. It means to rescue, to save, to deliver, to bring to completion the action of salvation. All right? That's what we mean by saved. Finally, how are we saved? By the gate. Thura in Greek. Thura. It's a door. It's an entrance. A portal. A passage. A way. And Jesus is our way. Our portal. Our entrance. Our door. Our gate. Through Him, we can know salvation. We can know abundant life. Okay, let's put it together. Life, the life we have in Jesus Christ, abundant, describes what that life is like. It's overflowing beyond our need. And that life that is overflowing and beyond our need is the life of salvation, being rescued from the peril of eternal death. And who does it? The gate does it, by Jesus Christ. Our spiritual lives, this kind of sums it up in a final statement, our spiritual lives are abundant in the grace and peace of salvation, which we receive when we enter the kingdom through Christ. That's the essence of this whole passage here today, that we enter the kingdom through Christ. And when we do, our lives, our spiritual lives, are abundant in the grace and peace that we have from Him. Now, that passage that we started with today, we're going to go back to, because it says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I came so that you may have life and have it abundantly." The world wants to steal, kill, and destroy. Steal. Steal what? Our life. The abundant life we have in Jesus. Kill. Kill our lives. Destroy. Destroy the abundance that we have in Jesus. That's what the world wants to do. That's what the evil in the world that wants to do. That's what sin wants to do in our lives, my friends. That's what Satan, to use his name, wants to do to you and me. Steal, kill, destroy. Jesus, our gate, promises us that through Him we can go in and come out and have pasture in the kingdom of God with nothing to fear. I'm reminded of the cartoons of Wile E. Coyote out and around looking for some sheep, and the sheepdog who sits there on guard with the fur that goes down over his eyes. He can't see a thing, you think? And Wile E. Coyote tries every little trick to get a sheep. He digs a tunnel, and he digs that tunnel out over the prairie, and he comes up on a sheep, and he picks him up, and he starts to walk off with the sheep. And then he gets off to the side, and he takes the sheep off, and he looks at him, and the sheep reaches up and pulls down a zipper, and out comes the sheepdog. And then he takes the coyote and he beats him on the head. My friends, we have a shepherd like that. And there is a wily coyote out there trying to get us to steal and to kill and to destroy you and me. The good news is that within each of us, we have that abundant life of the shepherd. Just like that cartoon, we have within us the abundant life of the shepherd. And if we will allow Him to live in and through us, through the abundance that He promises us, we know that that life cannot be destroyed. We know that Bobby's life can never be destroyed. She is alive in Christ forevermore. The shepherd lives in her now. And while the wily coyote may try to steal and kill and destroy, he will never succeed. I used to whine to my parents, why can't the coyote catch the roadrunner? And furthermore, why is he trying? I mean, he orders all this stuff from Acme all the time. That must have cost a lot of money. Why didn't he order some food? You can order that over the mail too, can't you? No, he orders bird seed, rocket sleds, bombs, pipes, slingshots, catapults from Acme. Dumb coyote. And he never gets the bird. My friends, that's the same thing with us. If we allow the shepherd to live in us, as Bobby has allowed the shepherd to live in her, if we allow the shepherd to live in us, the abundant life that we have in Christ, the abundant life that we received when we went through that gate into His kingdom, the abundant life that we received will keep us. If we allow Him to live in us and to continue to live in us, He will keep us and never let us go. The danger is walking away from that abundant life. The danger is neglecting the means of grace and Scripture and prayer and hymn singing and baptism and communion and the fellowship of the family of God. The danger is walking away from the gate, out of the safe pasture that God has for us, and into the wilderness. The danger is turning our backs on the shepherd and running away. And that abundance dwindles, and that abundance becomes thin, and that abundance waxes and wanes out. Is your abundance beginning to become thin, my friends? Are you hearing the thief knocking at the door? Are you sensing the coyote trying to get a beeline on you? If you are, you've come to the right place. You've come to the right shepherd, the good shepherd, Jesus Christ, who died on a cross, that we might never have to fear the thief who comes to steal and kill and destroy. The thief is searching for you and for me. And in our low moments, when the abundance has become thin, it's easy in depression and despair to slip. When you feel that happening, my friend, turn back to the shepherd. Read His holy word, the wonderful good news of Jesus Christ, a wonderful means of grace by which we can come to know His abundant life again. Come to worship, go to Bible study, Sunday school, fellowship, receive communion, participate in the life of the church and the life of the family of faith. And you'll feel that abundance of the love and joy and grace and peace of Jesus refilling your life again. That coyote is out there looking for you. But with the abundant life that you have in Christ, with the abundance that we have from the Holy Spirit of God infusing us and empowering us, He may be chasing us, and we, like the roadrunner, are going along, and we look back and we see Him. You know what you want to do? What that roadrunner does, he sticks his tongue out at him, and then boom! By the power of God, by the abundance that you and I have, we can do that. We can leave the thief in the dust. As the people of God, let's leave the thief in the dust today. Let's leave the thief in the dust and go off into the kingdom of God through that gate, proclaiming that He is our Savior, and by Him we have abundant life. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, we pray. And let the church of God say, Amen.